I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Andre Shimako, who spent years trading secrets in the leak and jailbreak community, acting as a double agent for Apple. Andre, welcome. Thanks so much for coming onto the show.
Hi, Hillary. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So it's a pleasure to have you, Andre, because I read the article in Vice's motherboard titled Apple's Double Agent. And immediately we all at Cybercrime Magazine knew that we had to have you onto the Cybercrime Radio podcast because we wanted you to share your story with our audience and then just continue that conversation with the greater cyber community. So to set the scene a little more, and then I'm going to hand it over to you. My understanding is you had handles or aliases that allowed you to penetrate online circles involving the Apple internal community via Twitter or Discord, etc., that those communities had been sharing leaked Apple apps and prototypes, manuals, information, etc. And you were in there and you were collecting as much information about those community members as possible to then bring back to Apple. So that's kind of my understanding from what I discerned from the Vice article. But then, Andrea, I'd love to turn it over to you for a more comprehensive and first person account of what transpired and led to you sharing your story with us today.
Well, you're not wrong, but it's also a little more complicated than the article says. So I'm not sure how much sense that would make, but it all started out as a hobby of sorts. So I noticed people who were interested in Apple's internals and not necessarily leaks of information regarding any upcoming devices, but anything Apple Corporate in general. And I kind of took interest in that. It seemed really exciting and really fun. So a couple years into this, I've started gathering more and more information, more documents, more apps, more information on Apple's employees. And people started offering really innovative paychecks for that kind of information. That seemed like a really nice and, I would say, enriching opportunity for me. And I jumped right in. So over the course of those years, my network of contacts grew. So I interacted with leakers. I interacted with employees behind certain leaks or employees in general. I've talked to the people in China who specialize in smuggling out stolen confidential hardware. So we're talking prototype cables, any specific diagnostic hardware, and also diagnostic cables that they would then later on use. So you can kind of divide this crowd into two parts, very distinct parts. So first, there are people who do security research. So they want prototypes because prototypes can offer less security than a production phone. So then they would go in, they would poke at it, they would do whatever they have to do, and they would let that would help them to find actual vulnerabilities that you can then use to jailbreak an iPhone, an actual production iPhone. And there are those who do all the leaks, all the media stuff, all the articles. I first met Apple's global security, and more specifically Thomas Moyer of Apple's global security, back in 2017, some random guy, he texted me on Twitter and he asked me whether I would be able to help him setting up virtual private network access on an Apple Connect account that he had. And that's the kind of account an employee would use. So it has its own privileges. It all depends on your role, on your position at Apple. I thought, well, that sounds like a great opportunity to gather more information, more intel and more data. But in fact, what he had, he sent me dozens of credentials of random accounts that he had. And he later on explained that all these were phished from employees. So basically what he would do, he would find emails and phone numbers and he would send fictitious texts and emails to these addresses, mimicking one of the Apple's internal systems so that an employee would believe that they've got a legit notification from, I don't know, regarding their payouts, regarding their insurance information, et cetera, et cetera. In that way, they would be able to pass on their credentials to him. And then he would log into Apple's directory and, well, he can fetch any amount of people from there that he needed, that he wanted. But the ultimate goal, I believe, was doing iCloud unlocks. So he believed that in this way, he would be able to access the tools presumably Apple would use to remove any kind of locks, accounts from a device that was most likely stolen. And for most people, that's rather lucrative business. especially for those who do it well. I've helped in this case, in this instance, I forwarded all those details to Apple. We've had kind of back and forth a month. So I was sharing any new details, any new accounts that I knew were affected. And I was also sending them copies of the kinds of emails and texts that he would send to Apple's employees. And after this whole thing was over, we basically never talked again up until in 2020 when I texted them again. The reason why I came in contact with them at this point is because I lost at least most of my clients and I wasn't making as much money as I used to. So that was becoming a real problem as I was still very much dependent on this particular source of income. And I also realized that this wasn't really the way to do business, to do one's life. So I kind of wanted to get some kind of a fresh start from them. And well, I hope that Apple would help me out in exchange for my help. And so as last time around, I emailed Thomas. He got back to me immediately. We talked for a bit. Then he scheduled for two of the GSS investigators to get in touch with me and that they will take things from them. So, and over the course of our interactions, I was sharing with them details on employees involved in leaks, employees in China and third parties helping facilitate the leaks and more specifically, all the smuggling on the hardware. Also employees using their positions for their own advantage, if that makes sense. So for example, I've had cases of people who would tell someone who is interested in Apple stuff in general, and they would promise them that they'll get them an account with all the accesses to the sites, apps, documentation, etc., etc., and they would take in money but never actually deliver on the promise. The other thing was also I reported a few bugs, but these bugs were very, very much specific to Apple's corporate systems. So like the proprietary mobile device management solution and also a bug in their video streaming service that they use internally for technical training videos. I hope that in this way, I will be able to brush off all my leaks, internals past, and that they would be able to help me financially, and they would be able to brush it off as if I was doing something for their bug bounties program. And well, they actually agreed at first, so we had a decent working relationship for quite a while. So they would say things like, okay, this sounds important, and this sounds important to you, so we understand and we'll do it for you, but in order for us to do it for you, we would need to get shareholders in a meeting to advise us on this whole question. And they were using this kind as leverage. So like there is this presumed meeting that was going to happen and they would say things like, oh, but there's COVID. But well, we didn't manage to get them to schedule an appointment month into this thing. I became particularly impatient. So at times I would leak some details that I obtained during my investigations, for example, into this whole Apple Maps thing that was published on 9to5Mac. And there was another article, I'm not sure what it was about, but I basically used the details that I had and like to stir things a bit, if that makes sense. Once I started posting on Twitter, posting things that portray all of my experiences with the GS. So I would publicly tell how I was unhappy doing business with them. I would tell them how they're being rather inefficient in most cases. And by inefficient, I mean situations like you would pass some information to an investigator. In these cases, you would need some feedback. So basically you would come to there is a person who's assigned to you, who's assigned to process all of your data, all of your intel that you gather for them. So you would send them those details and you would ask questions like, is this conclusive? Can we close this case now? Would this be enough? Do you need more information? And even in these instances, they would rarely be able to give you a direct answer. And that was particularly frustrating about dealing with them. So once I started tweeting publicly, once I started sharing my experiences, they've used the fact that there were also some confidential Apple materials posted on my Twitter. And they basically sent out a few DMCA claims for my account, and I was banned from the Twitter. That's how I knew that I would need a better platform to tell my story. And that's why I reached out to Vice in the first place. So that's kind of it, I guess.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That was it was very great to hear it from you kind of start to finish so we could holistically have an understanding. And so it's interesting because a lot of what I was hearing you describe, I've spoken with many bug bounty hunters and you even touched upon that. But yeah, a lot of what you were describing, I was thinking, oh, that sounds very similar to their bug bounty program, or, you know, maybe not exactly the same, but very, very similar. And it's interesting that. So I guess my question for you there is when you would have contact with Thomas at Apple's global security connection, would he give you explicit instructions on what to go look for and what that, you know, how you could be compensated? Or was it really, it sounds like from what you just described, it was much more vague.
Yeah, you're right. It was, well, they never gave you the specifics. So it was like, maybe it was more of, could you please look into this? Do you know someone named, and then they would drop the name. Do you know something about these articles that would mention some kind of leaks? So it was all really, really vague. And you never really understood what they wanted until you very much specifically pointed out the thing. So you would ask them, do you want me to look into this specific individual? And they would say, yes, please send us all the information that you have. And that would be it.
You said that you started doing this to help kind of fill in income that you had lost because you lost clients, things like that. Did you receive payment from Apple at any point in time? Or was it more they just kind of kept moving the goalpost on you?
Oh, it was sadly the latter. So they would give this vague promise of a shareholders meeting that they would constantly postpone, and they would give me some additional tasks in between to keep me focused.
That makes perfect sense. Thank you. And this went on. So you started your relationship with them in 2017, and then this went on through 2020. Is that correct?
No. In 2017, we've chatted from around May to maybe September. And once this whole phishing thing was over, they ditched me. And I never contacted them between 2017 and 2020.
It sounds like you really helped them a lot, especially with the phishing of employees and, you know, the mimicking of Apple internal communications, getting all this information from their employees as well as, I mean, not that you can necessarily put a number to it, but would it be fair to say that you probably helped them mitigate a lot of cost? Like, you probably helped save them money?
Well, I mean, I'm not really sure how should they measure that. But I know for a fact that if I didn't report that phishing thing in 2017, it could have been a lot much worse than it was. I mean, I could have taken these credentials, I could have downloaded employees' information, their paychecks, their insurance, their personal contacts, and I could have easily passed this information to some other third parties, and it would have been a lot more disastrous.
Are there, I know in the article with Vice, you referred to yourself as a mole of sorts. Do you know if there are others like you out there? Like, I mean, surely you can't be the only one that they're doing this, you know, having these conversations with and having this work done. But I don't know, were you an anomaly, or are there more like you out there?
I'm not really sure about that. I mean, I've never heard of any third parties helping Apple security because they're very secretive as usual for Apple, and their security is tight. I mean, it includes people who were in FBI and other US gov agencies, people who had extensive military training, so they are the real professionals. And from what I know, they don't necessarily like dealing with outsiders as much as possible.
And are you still banned on Twitter?
I cannot create any new accounts, but I'm using an old account that I had from 2014.
You mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that you're hoping that Apple will, in many ways, kind of do the right thing by compensating you as though you were taking part in their bug bounty. Have you heard? I know that the article in Vice came out on August 18th. Have you heard anything or been contacted from anyone at Apple about any of, you know, you coming forward and sharing your story?
No, not really.
And have you issued them anything like officially asking for compensation, like an amount or anything like that? Or was it really just more you're speaking out about your story and hoping that they would come to you to set it right?
I don't think I ever expected them to react to the story as much as I just hoped my story to be out there. So when they banned my Twitter, it felt like we all are entitled to free speech and everything. So it felt like they were just using this legal thing and their legal team as an excuse to take away my voice. And I did not like that.
How has the reception been on your story? From others, apart from Apple aside, has anyone reached out to you to say, oh, I have a similar experience or anything like that?
No, not really. And from what I've read online, the reception has been mostly negative. Well, and that's perfectly understandable, but still. But I haven't ever met anyone with similar experiences. I mean, you could say that this relationship that we had, it was pretty toxic, and there is currently a conversation about Apple's entire corporate culture being very much toxic. So you could say these two could partially relate to each other in a way.
Right. Yes, I have been reading things about that, about other people coming forward saying similar things. So I think it's very brave of you to come forward. That must have been difficult. So I thank you so much for doing so and for sharing your story. I'm sorry the reception is negative, but that happens whenever someone speaks out, I suppose. So it's kind of comes with the territory, I guess, unfortunately.
It's kind of the same thing as when this Ashley from Apple software engineering team, she came out first. She was still working for Apple back then, and she kind of got a similar treatment. I mean, the whole snitches get the stitches deal, et cetera, et cetera. So I guess that in a way that was kind of expected.
Yeah, I see. Well, at least you were looking at it with realistic expectations, but I'm with you on not wanting to be silenced. So I understand why you'd want to come forward for sure. Absolutely.
And thank you so much again.
Thank you so much for, again, sharing your story in such detail. And I guess, is there anything else you would want listeners to know as we wrap up our conversation together?
I think that was pretty much it. I mean, the story itself is not that much complicated.
Andre, as I said, thank you so much for coming onto the show. It's been a pleasure speaking with you and hearing your story, and happy to help you get your story out to more folks so you're not silenced. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Andre Shimako, who spent years trading secrets in the leak and jailbreak community, acting as a double agent for Apple. To listen to more episodes like this and all of our podcasts, you can visit us at cybercrime.radio.